Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. My very special guest, coming to us live from New Zealand, Claire Blakely, as part of our Kiwi collaborators section from GE Free New Zealand. Claire, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Will, and how is it over there?
Well, you know, pretty fabulous, I would say. Now, I would like to know, genetic engineering is one of the most important things of our time, right? In fact, there's so many important things going on, it's hard to pick one, but as far as I'm concerned, GE is such a huge danger to biosecurity. And in fact, interestingly enough, just today, I drove past a field of corn that had this big sign outside with this big number on it saying what the type of corn it was. And I thought to myself, hey, I thought we weren't allowed genetically engineered crops and stuff like that in New Zealand. But apparently they are, aren't they?
No, those are called special hybrids. Genetic engineering is actually the way we can try to control and patent the seed supply. And that is being done by big companies, Monsanto, Syngenta, and really the multi-corporates throughout the world. However, there are smaller seed suppliers who just do hybrids, and very often those lovely names and numbers that you get behind them have been conventionally bred. And the difference is that means that they have been cross-pollinated with corns of different varieties to produce a supposedly superior corn. Genetic engineering is the laboratory insertion of genes from different species, and to make those genes work, they attach them with viral bacterial insertions to create a gene which they then fire randomly into the DNA of a corn crop, for the sake of argument. It is totally random. It can produce really, really bad results, but it then allows that creator to man-make our natural crops. On top of that, it lets them own it, which means then we have to pay higher prices. But luckily for them, they have got control of the regulatory authorities, so they actually don't have any liability.
Isn't that convenient? If you've got a dangerous product that's highly profitable, wouldn't it be great if the people who could possibly shut you down, like the government, were in your back pocket? You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. A very special guest is Claire Blakely from GE Free New Zealand, and we will be right back momentarily.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know. The way it's going to go.
Apparently we don't. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We don't know where we're going or what we're doing, but we're doing it anyway. Now, speaking of dirty words, the dirtiest word that I know of, and I'm not sure if I can say it under FCC regulations, is Monsanto. I apologize to our affiliates and radio stations. I know this is a family show. But they're the filthiest scumbags beyond measure that you could ever conceive of. And definitely need an R18 rating, as far as I'm concerned, because you definitely don't want children getting anywhere near their products. Isn't that right, Claire?
That is certainly really very, very right. They have, I think, probably been the instigator of the worst chronic chromosomal damage to our children through the generations, from DDT to Agent Orange, and now genetic engineering. And just going back to that wonderful store that you were talking about innovation, I've just been in San Fran, and they have medical or medicinal cannabis, which, you know, it's quite cool. You can actually go and if you have a bit of a pain, you can buy that. Hopefully that isn't genetically engineered, but I'm quite sure Monsanto will get hold of it if they know there's going to be a way they can patent it and make money from it. But just going on into San Fran, that is the most amazing American place to be. They are right. They're really, really trying almost in all their shops to get rid of the recombinant bovine growth hormone, which is another Monsanto product called Posilac, which they inject into cows to produce an overproduction of milk. But this milk actually causes the, causes the cow to get mastitis, to have a very, very high pus content in its milk, and it also produces hormones in the milk, an excess of a hormone that actually is linked to prostate, breast, and breast cancer, and also exceptional links to twins. So already they're mucking around in our food supply by Monsanto, and the genetic damage it's doing through to our children, Vinny, I agree totally with you. They shouldn't even be rated.
Well, when you just said the word, the M word, 1,000 blackbirds just dropped out of the sky in Arkansas.
It's true. Yes, very much so. Oh, PCBs is what I did forget.
What's PCBs?
I just know it, and I know their name, but they're really, really highly toxic chemicals that are given off when you burn plastic, and they make plastic soft, and they buried a whole lot, I think, in Arkansas or one of those areas, and then hid it from the regulators and the environmental ministry until the whole of the area got really, really sick, and they discovered these drums with PCBs buried near their water supplies, and they were had rusted and were leaking into the water supply, affecting the community. And I think ran into the billions of dollars, a lawsuit that they had to pay out.
They've got such a bad record, right? And what I find interesting is there's such a long record. How could an organization like this, with such obvious criminality all the time, still be operating? And the answer is, well, because all the people that would be able to shut them down are full of Monsanto employees.
There is the revolving door, and the revolving door is totally political. And basically, when Monsanto wants something, probably many of the companies actually, not just, but Monsanto seems to be embedded. When Monsanto wants one of its products to be regulated and approved, funnily enough, often the people who worked on the production of that become the very government regulators who say how safe it is. We really, really cannot trust the revolving door, and of concern in New Zealand, it is happening at that and a much lower level because we're so small, but a lot of our regulators have actually got jobs or are getting jobs in those in regulation and then going across to somewhere like our Crown Research Institute, Ag Research, to work on their biotechnology after approving the biotechnology that they're going to actually get the job in. So this is a worldwide thing. It's not just in America, but as we saw with the WikiLeaks, American tentacles go into every country and they really, really, really hard hit those countries if they don't follow. Let's have the Monsantos into our country.
Now, when people do let Monsanto into their country, in my experience, there's very little benefit, if any. In fact, it seems to be only detriment. How is that? You know, well, what's their business? I mean, seriously, it's like they've got all these genetically modified organisms. They've got all these pesticides, herbicides. They now own Blackwater, or sorry, Z. I'm not allowed to call them Blackwater anymore because Blackwater's got a very, black mark against their name, apparently, from shooting civilians and whatnot ruthlessly in Iraq. So who better to enforce Monsanto policy, of course? You know? And how are they... What's the end goal for this mega corporation? It seems like there's no end to their facile resistance to any type of anything that would wind up being good for the environment, right? They're definitely not keen on anything like that. So, you know, is this entire corporation just sitting there plotting new ways to just poison our environment and control human population each day? I mean, what's going on here? They got some description of Cuban cigar montage with badass executives with pale skin because they don't get any food and nutrition in their diet because they're eating too much of their product going on here. Makes me nuts, man.
I would like to say that even though it sounds really silly, I think that America is actually morally and economically bankrupt. It's exported all its manufacturing base over to China to get cheap goods in. A lot of its money is actually coming from its colonization of companies over the world. And possibly Monsanto is the only person who's actually got any kind of clout, economic clout, that actually keeps the country internally going. Because it has an incredible amount of employees. I think actually it's laid off quite a lot recently. But, you know, it seems to have concentrated all the ideologues, all the people who want to control the world, as well as all the morally deficit people, in its corporation, who just see us, the public, as numbers and economic units. And what I love about us and what I love about the people is that we have a voice of our own and we don't have to buy their stuff. If we don't buy their stuff, the little people who've been saving their seeds, the little people who have been honestly selling seed through their own hybridization and making things work, saving their heritage seeds, giving us good nutrition because they care about us, even us growing our own food in our backyards. We, the people, must take control because we know, as the Lorax said, business is business and business must grow. And so I think probably the Lorax is becoming, Dr. Seuss's Lorax is becoming more and more true in today's world. Business is becoming the new god, and corporations like Monsanto almost feel that they have to own everybody and all their money. So,
well, if you look into Monsanto's backing, sorry, I mean, they're worth about $20 trillion. And then if you look into a lot of their shareholdings, I mean, it's just it's a massive web. I mean, Prime Cap Management, an investment firm, one of their largest investors. And if you look at the CEO of Prime Cap, he's involved in other 10 major corporations such as Johnson & Johnson. I mean, these guys have got so many bases covered. People who don't, you know, you can boycott Monsanto and you'll be funneling into an exhaust valve of theirs. It's systematic, really.
Well, it is.
I mean, what they're doing is systemic, what they're doing in a systematic way, but it's so deep grain. I mean, you can just follow any one of these top executives backing them, and they are just all over the map.
I agree with you, but the fact is we've got to go and say, how can each one of us create a quilt work that we can say no? And the best way to do it is to get back the power that we have as individuals. And as individuals, we can all work together. And we must be aware that what we buy, what we eat, is for us. And in a way, you have just explained Monsanto just as the way that cancer works within the body. And we know that some of the best ways to stop cancer is to eat healthily. And the biggest fear I have with genetic engineering is that it is a cancer from a cancerous organization. And we, if our food becomes our danger, then we haven't got anything to fall back on. We have to preserve our food supply because that is, in a way, our lifeline.
That's what they want to poison our air and supply of water. That's what they want to poison.
This brings us on to Malthus and, of course, the old adage of the Malthusian catastrophe, using food as a weapon. If Monsanto is a dreadful and evil organization, and I'm wondering if they'll actually try and sue me over saying that, that'll be interesting. Bring it on.
Well, that's in State Memorandum 200, Vinny. I mean, they outline using food as a weapon.
They do.
So if they're doing if they're doing that, okay, they're using food as a weapon. Is that battle going on right now as we speak? Are we currently having food used against us as a weapon?
Since about 1996, Vinny.
Once they patent the food supply, they will then have control over who owns it, who grows it. If they don't like you, they can actually say, I'm sorry, you're not buying enough of my product. I haven't got enough seed for you. If you happen to get contaminated by them, they can walk in and say, hang on, you're growing my copyright, my patented product. We estimate that there's 40% of that, which is your 40% contamination, and we will be able to own and charge you for that crop. And in America now, the small farmers are actually having lawsuits put across them for having having contamination of their seed supply, which they have saved over the millennia, and Monsanto is coming in and suing them, and they are actually acquiescing to pay because they cannot afford the lawsuit to say they were innocent. So they are actually criminalizing innocent people, and because those innocent people cannot afford to lose their farms, which is what they'd have to do to fight the case, they're actually settling. So can you imagine if Monsanto owns a food supply that every farmer, regardless of where they are, whether they want it or not, especially organic farming, if they're contaminated, they will be paying into the Monsanto seed bank for that contamination, and Monsanto will not be made liable. In our regulation in New Zealand, we have no liability. I think in America you can sue them, but because, as Will said, they're worth trillions of dollars, it's not even... it's like stepping on an ant for them. We have got no power at all except the power of the consumer. We do not buy their product. We do not buy genetic engineering. We do not have to suffer the health effects that genetic engineering will give us. Those poor wee animals that independent scientists are testing this food on, have got immune system damage, organ damage, kidney damage, as well as digestive damage, which if reflected in the human being could into liver cirrhosis, kidney stones, kidney failure, irritable bowel disease, immune system problems, allergies, and autoimmune diseases. If you could extrapolate what the studies of those animals to the human being. And I believe that in the next 5 years, if we do not get GE out of the food chain, we will actually be suffering those effects from the food we eat.
Unbelievable. Well, in fact, naysay, it is totally believable because it's been going on for quite some freaking time. And we are entering into this this sort of a crisis mode. You know, we don't want to get everybody like freaked out or anything or fearmonger on this show. But yeah, there's people out there who are trying to kill you and they're being very successful at it. In fact, a lot of you listening are probably dying right now in some way, shape or form thanks to Monsanto and various other organizations like them. So make no mistake, there is a very, very good case for you to actually stop buying their products, stop supporting them and run them out of town like a pack of snake oil salesmen they are.
It's not hard,
and you
really,
can
is it?
Chase them out of your town, no matter what town you're in, the whole freaking world, because Monsanto's freaking everywhere. Even the firm which my girlfriend works for have been using Roundup. You know, everybody.
It's not hard.
They walked up to the boss and said, "Hey, that stuff's really, really badly poisonous. It's not biodegradable." And the boss said, "Oh, yes, it is. The company said so." And I said, "Well, no, it's not." And he said, But that's a lie. And they say, yeah, that's what Monsanto does.
Yeah. I don't know why it's so difficult for people. You know, I went out and planted a few veggies probably about 8 weeks ago, and now I can just cut off some bok choy leaves, pick some tomatoes, make myself a salad. You know, it's not hard. All you've got to do
not
is
at all.
Go out in the garden and wash it. And that's it.
And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, taking your calls on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, 402-237-2525. The Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road.
Santo Road.
When along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said,
and he said, yeah, because I work for Monsanto.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the
mountains. I put my poison there, man.
Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I'm everywhere. I spray my poison sprays and all of that kind of stuff and destroy all your land and enslave all your people. I'm Monsanto, baby, and I ain't gonna stop because everybody knows that I've got a GE crop. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Our very special guest, who's just almost as borderlining and unfabulous as I am, is Claire Bleakley from GE Free New Zealand. Claire, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny.
Now, there was something you were talking about over the break. It was the PCBs or something. What was that?
Yes. Well, we were mentioning one of the products that was put into the soil and those drums. And you said, what are PCBs? And they are organophosphates, organic compounds, which contain chlorine atoms. And they're called polychlorinated biphenyls. And they are highly toxic. And they will, when they reach the water supply, turn males into females. And they've made hermaphrodite frogs and things like that. So they actually are what we call endocrine disruptors. And that was one of the original Monsanto products.
The original Monsanto. Don't you love that, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, you kind of don't have a choice about what whether or not you become a boy or a girl thanks to Monsanto. I find that very, very Vinny, interesting.
Yeah. Vinny, I can't help it. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
But seriously, no, bisphenol A, I mean, is the subject of, what, a 6-7 year campaign to ban all around the world, really, especially in Europe. It's dangerous stuff, and it's in Coke bottles. It's in most plastic groups they actually use, even though it's more expensive to produce than the non-BPA plastics. They decide to use it because, you know, it fits into their genocide campaign.
No, you know, I don't even think they're that clever. I just think...
Oh, no. Here we go.
I don't think that trying to have to create a product that's so dangerous that nobody will use it is actually at all clever. However, I think where the danger comes in is they say they don't have to do the testing. So they'll create a compound because everything they have access to, because they own everything, all the raw resources, they will make plastics from coal, from oil, from all of that. But then they'll say, oh, no, we don't need to test it properly because it's substantially equivalent to the original thing or whatever. And actually, if the testing was done and if the regulators made it the responsibility that proper independent testing of these products was an industry
standard,
exactly, we would actually be very natural. But there is also another thought. Many of these products, especially the genetic engineering of the food supply, is creating sterility in the animals that eat it, and it goes right down two or three generations.
Sterility. And have a look. Have a look at the sperm counts and fertility rates of the human race, ladies and gentlemen. They're dropping like flies under black flags.
Exactly. So what is this actually to try? All the products that they have, all the foods they've genetically modified are staple products of the third world countries. Are they actually putting in, through genetic engineering, population control? And that this is what's going to happen. They're going to start.
This is the whole climate change movement. This is the whole climate change movement. We've got a top Australian scientist come out and say that every American should be taxed $18,000 per child because they exhale CO2, and that a band of elite warriors are ruling over society in an authoritarian manner is a natural disposition for mankind. I mean, this is the whole agenda. It's the new age green agenda cloaked. That's the cloak. And really, it's a eugenics operation.
It's like a form of spiritual despotism.
Yeah.
Elitism.
I mean, on the whole issue of whether the plasticizers they used, estrogen mimickers, are an accident or an agenda, I just refer people to the aspartame story. And you know, it was initially approved in 1974, and then we had it, on hold. Pending investigation, 1978, and then along comes Mr. Rumsfeld, who gets himself in a directorship role at GD Searle after they fire the other director, and then all of a sudden it's approved by the FDA, then approved for dry goods across the board, 1983, dry goods above 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Where it does become more, the molecule becomes more unstable. I mean, that's a clear agenda there. They tested it. They saw it cause tumors in rodents. They knew what it could do. And they just said, hey, we're going to throw it out there. Now the New Zealand government says we're going to pull sugar out of your schools and give them aspartame.
Yeah, and vaccine manufacturers started purposely putting cancer viruses into the vaccines as well, you know. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen. These things are, do get done on purpose and then concealed. But, you know.
But, you know, the aspartame is actually genetically engineered, and it was a mistaken thing where one of the bacteria started producing this highly sweet compound, which they could
isolate.
However, there was another product, which was a health product called L-tryptophan, which was made in the beer yeast at Showa Denko in Japan. And it was they genetically engineered a sort of a weaker version, and Mark II, Mark III, Mark IV version of it got stronger and stronger. And they were pushing this little bacteria to make this product called L-tryptophan. And they suddenly discovered that because it was a very specific product for the health market, and a lot of the bodybuilders and people like that took it, they started getting these very, very rare symptoms called eosinophilia myalgia symptoms, which are all the eosinophils, which were your antibodies, started having an autoimmune disease attacking the muscles. 100 people died, and tens of thousands have been maimed. Over the years, they have been in a court case, and they still are. It was withdrawn, and when they started to look into it, all the genetic engineering blueprints were burned. $2 billion or more was paid out by the company to the affected people. But when the FDA or those people came up with the findings, they said, oh, it was a purification process problem, not the genetic engineering. Yet that purification process was still as stringent as the naturally made or derived product. So genetic engineering in the early days almost certainly showed that it was detrimental to human health.
Now, you also mentioned over the break that Monsanto was basically being set up as a straw man. Could you explain that?
Well, Monsanto does own about 80% of the GM seed supply, but I actually think that every time we mention their name, one of the bigwigs jumps ship to another of the corporates, like Syngenta, like Dow Chemical, like Pioneer, like Calgene. There are a whole lot of sort of, I guess...
It's a consortium.
They all have got their own product, because Syngenta is really the BT person. They're the ones who do the Bacillus thuringiensis, the insecticide people. Monsanto really does the Roundup. However, what I think we are seeing is we are now getting what we call stack genes, where you now have a corn that has Roundup resistance, the chemical Roundup Ready resistance, plus produces high BT insecticide. Now, why these two are dangerous is that the Roundup is now sprayed at 200 times the level. And just remember, crops never could have Roundup sprayed on them in the whole of their life cycle. It is absorbed excessively well into starch, and most of these corn, soy are starchy, have starchy grain. The BT insecticide cannot be boiled out, and it cannot be destroyed by sunlight, so that you are having exceptionally high levels of insecticide that actually could lead to, if you have a food, say soy, corn, maybe a zucchini, maybe a pumpkin squash on your plate with a soy milk drink, you are almost solely eating a GE meal. And we have no idea what the effects of the GE components will be on the human system, but we do know that animals, as they were fed more and more percentages of GE in their diet, by the time it reached around about 15 to 20%, around about 40% of those animals were dying within a week or two of eating this food. But in one place where the BT cotton, which is not normally eaten, but there was a terrible drought in India, and they sent the cows to finish off the cotton fields because the GE cotton bowls had actually had underperformed and all dropped off. And so they sent the cows in to eat the GE cotton that was left. And I think there were 1,800 livestock reported in India of dying after eating after grazing on the GE cotton fields. Now, when you have a little subsistence family who only probably has one or two cows and a few goats, if 1,800 animals dying in 2 weeks, this is all, you can find this on the net, and it is it's readily available on responsibletechnology.org website. Seeds of Deception, Genetic Roulette by Jeffrey Smith. These are the kind of books where he has gone round and he has found the science as well as the anecdotal evidence. Because at the moment, scientists are saying, oh, that's only anecdotal. 1,800 animals dying after living on eating GE cotton. Oh, don't worry about that. That's only what the poor Indians are saying. We don't know anything to do with that. They won't go in. So Jeffrey went around to all these places and he's got video footage. He's talked to the people who are affected. He's talked to the scientists. And I think we need to really seriously look at his stuff and challenge it. Ask him questions. Ask him where the science is. Write to the scientists that have independently found this out. Ask them why they're no longer drinking milk, which comes from hormone cows, why they're no longer eating GE foods. These are the very scientists who, when they were given the brief or the research to check out GM, thought, oh, this will be a doddle. There'll be no problem whatsoever. It'll be no different as testing something else. And when they found these effects, they basically changed their lifestyle. Some of those people who reported the effects to the world within days lost their tenures, lost all their research grants, and were totally vilified by the bigger, it's bigger than Monsanto now, by the regulators, by the governments, by the pro-GM scientists.
I call them the Roundup Gang.
For decades now, Monsanto has been working in government programs. And a lot of people don't know that Monsanto, in fact, managed the mound facility, production and maintenance of nuclear components, weapons, detonators, timers, timing devices and stuff. For Monsanto, Monsanto did this for the U.S. government back in the 80s. A lot of people don't – I mean, the director of Monsanto is a Bohemian Grover. That should tell you all you need to know. But they're
indeed
pretty widespread.
Which means he's very familiar with human sacrifice. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Our very special guest from GE Free New Zealand is Claire Bleakley, and we'll be back with the final segment of the week.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's business time. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
That's all part of it. That's foreplay.
or play with the new world order.
The recycling.
Yeah,
that's not part of it, but it's still very important.
Welcome back. www.thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to listen to any of the shows that we have ever done, and also AmericanFreedomRadio.com, essentially, towards the certain end of the show, I usually like to pay homage a little bit to all our fabulous guests that we have on the show, our incredible team that we have here, who are all kind of independent, and they're just kind of like, I don't know. It's like the Vinnie Eastwood Show is just this big bonfire and everybody else is just out grabbing wood to chuck on it, you know, that sort of thing. So we've got, you know, Timmy in Sarasota uploading our shows to YouTube. We've got our fabulous associate producer, Chris, sends us amazing articles and is really helping out of late to keep Guerrilla Media updated. Our executive, our somewhat fabulous executive producer, Monsieur Santel, who has been integral from the very inception of the show, of giving it the form and the somewhat belated professionalism, hushed I say. And, of course, my remarkable co-host, Will, always a source of great cynicism. And, and of course, the network, AmericanFreedomRadio.com, is such an amazing website because it's made by amazing people and has amazing content made by amazing people. Funnily enough, go into AmericanFreedomRadio.com, you click on any part of that, and it's just freaking fabulous. Every bit, top to bottom. That's why we're very proud to be broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. Our very special guest is Claire Bleakley from GE Free New Zealand, and she's got a little bit of inspirational material for us, because often we talk about Monsanto as if it's the big, power-hungry, evil organization that will just crush all of us like bugs and whatever if we ever stand up to them. But it's not really the case, is it, Claire?
No, it isn't, because we are absolutely fabulous people, as you said, and obviously American Freedom Radio and New Zealand, who are supporting American Freedom Radio, are doing a fantastic job to show that we can fight. We can get information out there and we can choose not to buy into these massive corporations. And I'd just like to say that lovely little bit of music by the Concords, you can tell that they're New Zealanders and you can tell that they live in a GE-free country because they actually want to make love and they're not sterile. And they obviously had a GE meal. So can I say we have to learn where to buy farmers markets, grow our own stuff, buy the right seeds, but also if we do choose to or we feel we need to use chemicals, we need to look at maybe trying the more natural ones before we take the ones off the shelf that are made by the big corporations who are desperately trying to sell their stuff because they want to live on their yachts and their billion-dollar homes. They want to be the ones who use our money and abuse our money so that the little mums and dads in the property markets all of a sudden cannot retire because they've got no money. We need to be very, very careful that where we put our vote, our thoughts, and our buying power is where we want it, we can control it, and that it will make sure that our children and our families and ourselves will always stay absolutely fabulous.
Absolutely fabulous. Oh, yes.
So GE New Zealand is what we have to preserve, but I also note that in America there's the non-GMO project. There is the Institute of Sustainable Responsibility. It is those are the people who are changing the world. They've also got the ability to show us how we can support them in changing the world. And in a way, we've got to turn around and not be fearful of GMOs because we can buy GE free. And we have to support that, and it has to make an effort. And I really thank shows like this that allow us to actually invigorate people and hopefully tell people how they can vote with their pockets, their mouths, and their consciences. This is a moral and ethical debate that we have to always be aware of, that we don't have to be in fear of those corporates because we've actually risen above it and we've got our own way of doing it. So thank you very, very much for this.
Well, thank you very much, Claire, for revealing such incredible information on the show, the appreciation of our listeners and myself, not least of all. Indeed, I've been having a fair few comments in the background chat here about how much they appreciate and how interesting these particular shows have been. So thank you very much for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Just one last thing, sorry. If you want more information, www.gefree.org.nz is our website, and it does try to keep everything about this in front of New Zealanders and the world.
Thanks, Claire. Awesome job.
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen. Claire Bleakley from GEFree New Zealand. And, you know, our Kiwi collaborator section, like I always say, it's amazing how much New Zealand really has in touch with the rest of the world. Thank you very much for listening to us fabulous New Zealanders on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Catch you later.